Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas sits for the love of food at SaverLife.com, and it is spring, although, well, it doesn't feel like it outside, but it is the time of year to sign up for CSAs, Community Supported Agriculture. And last Sunday on the wine show, I was talking a little bit about a wine CSA in the Finger Lakes, where they ship you three bottles of wine from a different winery each month. And have a virtual tasting. It's a pretty cool thing to be part of. So CSAs have expanded a lot since maybe 30 years ago when 35 years ago when the concept really got rolling, and maybe it's 40 years. Piecework Farm was one of the first, and they are still around. But many of these CSAs sell out. Some of them have sold out already. And I was listening to Connections on WXXI. You can check Evan Dawson's archives at xxi.org and hear Mud Creek Farm and one of their shareholders did an interview with them, and also Deep Root Farm. So if you want to listen to a couple of farms that have CSAs, I think one of them was already sold out this year. But there are many CSAs. Just don't wait another month. I would look into them in the next week or so and consider signing up for a couple reasons. One, you'll have some great vegetables over the entire growing season. And you'll learn more about how this all works. How where does our food come from? Some of the farms, like Piecework, will have you come to the farm and do some work. Not a lot. Last I heard at Piecework, it was less than a full day, and you could do it over several days, spread it out. So. I didn't check what they're offering this year, but many CSAs, you don't need to go to the farm. Although I think that's really one of the perks of being a member of a CSA, is to go to the farm. And even if they don't have work requirements, I'm virtually certain that farms would love to have you come out and work for a few hours. Set it up in advance, of course, they would love to have some extra help, I think, in general. Maybe at specific times of the spring or summer. But, go out and see the farm. And you get to know the farmer. You get to know the land where your food's grown. And you'll learn something about growing food, which might be applicable for your own yard. And you don't need to have a yard. You can grow a substantial number of vegetables in containers and window boxes. You can really do a lot of growing in a very small space. There was it was called Spin Gardening Link that from quite a few years ago, I don't know if it was in New York City or near New York City, but a garden where they were growing something like $50,000 or $100,000 worth of vegetables, and a lot of it lettuce and greens, I think, in a less than an acre, or maybe it was an acre. I should have looked this up, a surprisingly small amount of space, because they were doing multiple crops in the same space, which helped them to earn more money, at least in gross receipts, for what is really a very small farm. So, for years there have been square foot gardening and other ideas. And books about growing in small spaces, growing multiple plants in the same space, some of them maturing at different times with different needs in terms of sun, water, etc. You can grow a surprising number of things in, again, a pretty small space. And, you know, maybe it's time to take out a couple of things in your yard that don't produce food and aren't really, you know, they're sort of placeholders in a sense. And so as you look around your yard, maybe there's a tree that is, you know, was there when you moved in. It is not a particularly interesting or valuable tree, or it's one that, you know, like an ash tree that you have to treat it or have someone treat it to keep it alive because of the ash borer. Maybe it's, you know, it's a hedgerow or who knows, but, you know, some part of your yard where things are just, you know, it's time for a change. Things are kind of boring, those plants, trees and shrubs. And if you don't know what they are, then I wouldn't necessarily make a decision on whether to remove them. And we talk about this in the gardening show. If you want some help identifying what's in your yard, maybe a tree or a shrub or several, send me a photo, a couple of photos, maybe a close-up and then also sort of an overview photo. And often, even with no leaves on the tree or shrub, I can give you a sense for what it might be, especially with a couple close-ups of the buds, the branching, you know, three photos of a tree or shrub, and there's a decent chance I can figure out what it is. And if I can't, I know some people I can send it to who can probably help, who are even better at figuring out what things are. So, you know, there are lots of kinds of trees out there. Some are very valuable things that I would definitely recommend you keep, but there also are some that, you know, maybe near, you know, like a Norway maple that doesn't live that long, tends to be a breakable tree, has multiple problems, and sends gazillion seedlings into your gardens and your yard. That would be a prime candidate to remove. Once it's gone, you, especially with the Norway maple, you'd have substantial amount of sun reaching that area because they're very, they provide a lot of shade. And it could give you some great options for adding to your gardens. Again, these are things we tend to talk about more in the gardening show, but if you have soil that is no fun to dig in, that doesn't seem to be very good to you because it's too much clay or too much sand, you can do raised bed gardens. If you have trouble, you know, leaning down and working down in the soil, then, you know, get a raised bed built so that it's, you know, it doesn't have to be 5 feet high. It can be just maybe 3 feet so that you could sit in a chair and comfortably work in the garden and grow some amazing vegetables without having to, you know, get down your hands and knees on the ground. Well, there are a lot of options. You can also just have a couple of big containers, and those can be on wheels so that you can move them. Maybe, you know, if you have limited sun and you want to grow tomatoes, that the amount of sun is going to change dramatically between May and September, because of where the sun is in the sky. And by September, you mean you want to move those tomatoes to another part of your patio or driveway or something. And again, some of these, you can put them on wheels. And in general, the bigger the container that you use, the, you know, plastic will be a lot lighter than clay, but the bigger the container that you use, the easier it will be to keep it alive in a hot summer where small containers dry out very easily. So think outside of the box in terms of what you could grow in your garden. Maybe replacing some of those trees or shrubs gives you space for apples or maybe a pear tree. maybe grapevines or kiwi vines, maybe some of the thornless dwarf raspberries and blackberries that are now available. Maybe you want some strawberries. There are tons of things that you can grow in your yard. And sort of along the lines of the CSA idea, getting to know your farmer, by growing some of your own things, you'll also appreciate more what those farmers do. Because in your own garden, you will have probably squirrels and maybe some raccoons, probably some birds that will come. And, you know, the robins really love strawberries. And you'll see some diseases on your plants. You'll find some insects. And you'll see how challenging it can be to grow some of these things during a drought or when there's days and days of rain and no sunshine or late frosts and early frosts. So all of these things really are an education and appreciating what farmers do, that they put up with what Mother Nature throws at us each year, and it's just wildly different every year. So again, I hope that you'll grow more things that you can eat. You can actually grow. They have some Tumbling Tom, one variety of cherry tomato that you can grow in a hanging basket, and it just naturally grows that way. You can grow herbs. And window boxes are especially good for herbs. For one thing, they make them accessible to you inside. You don't even have to go outside. Just open the window, pick some parsley or thyme or sage or something from your window box. But also, encourage you to use them more often if they're more accessible. So, the old way of doing things, which we did when I was growing up, was to have a big vegetable garden in the backyard. And that's still a great idea. But also try to work in some of these vegetables into your landscape, into your containers. They're beautiful. And I think I've mentioned this before, but I was at a restaurant. It was actually a restaurant in Cape Cod called Sunbird, and they were using single stems of Swiss chard in vases as table decoration. And these were very large stems of Swiss chard, but the colors are just bright lights as one sort of collection of colors that you can buy seeds for of Swiss chard, and it's just vibrant colors. And especially with the sun, or in this case, lights in the restaurant going through the water and these stems, the leaves are green, but the stems can be just crazy burgundies and almost fluorescent oranges and yellows and reds and pinks. Extraordinary colors. And so, again, right now is an ideal time to think about starting seeds for your garden. We'll talk about that more in the gardening show next week. Generally about a month away, 4 weeks from planting outdoors. So, we're probably not going to be planting outdoors on April 6th. But there are some cool, hardy plants like kale and spinach, radishes and peas that you could probably put outside sometimes in mid-April. And you might be able to directly sow some of those things, probably can, by mid-April. And I would consider doing both. Start some inside and directly sow some of these. And some radishes directly sown will give you, 30 days later, let's say you're able to plant, maybe directly sow seeds by the first week of April. By the first week of May, you might have some delicious radishes available already. And it's harvesting your own, even though some things will not do that well, probably based on the weather or other things, plant a diversity of vegetables and fruits in your yard, and that is one of the beauties of CSAs, is it gives the farmers the sort of carte blanche option to, they grow lots of things, and you'll get more of the things that do well that year and probably fewer of the things that don't do well that year, and it'll change year to year. So again, between CSAs and growing some of your own fruits and vegetables, it will gain appreciation and knowledge about the natural world, and it's a fascinating thing to do. And for a lot of people, perhaps they didn't grow up doing this. From a young kid, as early as I can remember, I was out in my parents' garden, my grandparents' garden, watching the birds, looking for tomato hornworms, following a tortoise around in my grandmother's yard in California, feeding it lettuce and maybe carrots. I remember loving lettuce. And again, connecting with the natural world through what we eat. And it is, I think for a lot of people, just something that they didn't grow up doing. And it's never too late to start and to learn more about the trees that are around your yard, the insects, the birds, etc. So if you need help identifying things, send me an email, send me a couple of photos, and I'll do my best to help you identify what might be in your yard, and really get rid of some lawn. Maybe you want to keep all your trees and shrubs, but there's some areas of your lawn that could be sacrificed for something useful. Lawns can be beautiful, but we generally have way too much of them, something like 40 million acres of lawns in the United States. And maybe get rid of a significant part of your back lawn or side lawn or front lawn and grow some strawberries as a ground cover. Plant a whole area of kale and Swiss chard that'll look beautiful. And, I'm still harvesting kale from our garden. The snow is receding from around our kale, and it's still there. Looks fine. We have some of the dinosaur kale, and we'll be enjoying some of that in the next week from our garden. And the garlic should be coming up. Can't see the ground yet, but there may be some green shoots of our garlic coming up. All of these things, all the plants, all the trees, shrubs, insects, etc., all have different life cycles, different times to look for them, and that's part of this process of spending more time in your garden or with growing plants in containers. I'd love to see a business. I've suggested it to a few people, and there are probably businesses like this in some other cities, but I don't think there's one in Rochester yet, where, and with the pandemic, this has been very hard to even consider, but as the pandemic recedes and people get vaccinated, I'd love to see some sort of like window box service. I sort of imagined this where, a company would come to maybe residents of a assisted living center or nursing home, or maybe childcare business, or just ordinary homeowners or apartment dwellers, and you could do this as a gift for someone. You could do it for yourself. Maybe a business would donate it for the residents of a assisted living center, where the window boxes would be created that fit the windows or the construction of those buildings, and they would be changed maybe once a month, maybe four times a year, maybe every 2 weeks. But they would be inside for the winter probably, just or they could be outside and turn into more of a bird feeder type of situation during the winter. And then outdoors, where people might have some herbs growing, or maybe some favorite flowers from their childhood, or perhaps things to attract butterflies or bees or birds, or there are tons of different themes. Maybe plants that are mentioned in the Bible, perhaps plants that are used medicinally, or there's a million themes that one could come up with. And for some people in, say, that assisted living or nursing home, the contact of the person that comes to exchange the window boxes and maybe explains what's in the new one, is important contact, and it's a chance to learn. And these plants could be things like lavender and other things that have incredible fragrance, rosemary, things when you touch them, they maybe bring back memories, and scent can do that in ways that many other things can't. So I think there will be businesses like this at some point. It's just a matter of who starts it and runs it. I hope someone does. I would promote it and tell everyone about it. So, again, I would see some edible things as part of this, whether it's herbs or there's a lot of dwarf tomatoes and things these days that can be, kept in small, relatively small containers. The window boxes, there's a number of them that have water reservoirs, so they don't need to be watered as much, which could be difficult for someone to do. And especially if it's in a sunny location, that's going to be important. So lots of ways to look at this. I hope if you were thinking about doing it, let me know, and happy to try and set up some connections for you. We'll be back with Discover the Finger Lakes, and tomorrow it's the Grapevine. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's at saverlife.com. Have a great day.